Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hi, I'm Imri, and welcome back to the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. You are listening to part two, Meet the Cartoonist with Lisa Hannawalt. I want to say a huge thank you for listening again. And if you're new and saw this podcast on the iTunes banner, welcome. I hope you get some incredible tips today. This week, I'm joined by Lisa Hannawalt, the producer and production designer of BoJack Horseman on Netflix. Lisa has published two books with Drawn and Quarterly, the first, My Dirty Dumb Eyes, and The Hot Dog Taste Test. Lisa is the co-host of the Baby Geniuses podcast with comedian Emily Heller. She's won 8 awards, including the Critics' Choice Award for BoJack Horseman twice. Fair warning, we cover some more mature themes in today's episode. Lisa and I discuss how she comes up with the ideas for her art and her use of wordplay. We explore how she developed her acute attention to detail and the questions she asks herself before creating the work. We talk about some of her quirks and how they influence the work she creates. And what you'll learn from this episode are novel ways that you can channel your anxiety, the characteristics of a bad therapist so you can watch out. We talk about how her podcast Baby Geniuses got started, and we touch on the anxiety you might experience around public speaking. This is one of the funnier episodes, so enjoy. Hi Lisa, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm great, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So, the first question I ask everyone is, who did you want to be before you became who you are and why?
Who did I want to be? I think I wanted to be Weird Al Yankovic for a while.
That is so random.
When I was like 9 years old, I think that just seemed like the coolest person you could possibly be in the whole world. I shifted a little bit. that didn't quite work out.
Yeah. He's the guy that spoofs videos, right? Like he spoofs like popular music videos.
I loved his music. I thought he was such a rock star. I mean, when I was that young, I thought his songs were the originals. So that was my bad. I just liked that he was really funny. I've always liked comedians, but I'm a little too shy to do that.
Oh my gosh. You're like so funny though, which is
weird. Thank you.
You're actually really funny.
It's easier to be funny in artwork because I have more time to like think of punchlines and images and whatnot. I don't have to like come up with it on the spot.
Oh my gosh. I was so going to ask about this as well. So there was that. Let's go with that. One of the questions I had was around, You're on the trail article with Wiley. On the trail with Wiley, should I say?
Oh, yes. Wiley Dufresne.
Yeah, Wiley Dufresne, the chef, who you portrayed in some really weird ways, but they were really great because you won the James Beard Award for Humor and Journalism, which is really cool. So you are clearly very funny, but I was mostly curious about how you named the pasta.
Oh, the pasta.
Yeah.
You mean in that little part where I'm just made up goofy names for the shapes?
Yeah. How did you come up with those?
That's a good question. I kind of just free associated, I guess, when I was looking at the images. I don't even remember what they are. One of them is like
Bachelorettini. That one was shaped like a penis.
I guess I've always liked wordplay a lot. My dad is like, you know, he likes to make lots of puns. So I kind of learned to make puns from a young age. My brother also does a lot of wordplay. So yeah, I kind of just like goofing around with things like that.
Oh, that's really cool. I love puns. Yeah. I'm not very good at them, but I do love them.
I mean, they're awful. Like, there's not like a good pun. They're all bad.
I feel like bad puns are the best puns though, because they're just really the nose. I do love a good pun. I can't lie. I'm a sucker for them when they come up. But yeah, sometimes what I really love about your work, besides the fact that it is like bonkers, is that you have like an amazing attention to detail. Like, it is, I don't like know how you think of things like that. Is there something that just comes naturally to you? Like, things like Princess Carolyn has a scratch post on her desk. Like, that would just never occur to me. I don't have that level of that attention to detail.
That was one of the very first things I did when I was starting to art direct the pilot for BoJack. Because we were looking at Princess Carolyn's office, and I was like, how can we make this look like a cat works in here? What do cats like? They like scratching posts. Okay, let's just put that in there. Just like, you know, little things like that. I guess it just comes out of like what I like when I'm looking at artwork. It's the kind of things that you can look at, you know, over and over again and find different things each time.
Yeah.
So I like hiding little details and just sort of taking my time with that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's so cool.
It pleases me.
Yeah, because I mean, even in like My Dirty Dumb Eyes, where you were reviewing movies, like you picked out like really small details and then you kind of exaggerate them. Like, something that really struck out to me was like how many toothpicks you stuffed in Ryan Gosling's mouth when you reviewed Drive. And that was really random.
I think it's funny to kind of get hung up on tiny little details and spin out about them, even though they're not important to the plot, because it really is about like how your mind wanders at certain points when you're watching movies. And it's really about the experience of watching a movie more than the movie itself at times.
Yeah. How do you even track those thoughts? Like, do you, like you mentioned in like one of the commentaries that, you know, you had a notebook whilst you were watching. Do you genuinely go to the movies with notebooks?
I don't these days because I've stopped doing the illustrated movie reviews, but for a while I was literally just scribbling down notes while I watched them. It's nice. Like, I get a little antsy during movies sometimes. So I think it gave me something to do, which is like part of why I even made those comics in the first place, is because I get so like kind of antsy and bored that my mind just sort of wanders. So that sort of became the source of inspiration, I guess.
That's pretty cool. Is that like a self-care thing?
I guess you could call it that. I never thought about it that way until very recently, where I'm like, oh yeah, it is kind of an anxiety driven thing.
Yeah.
My like, I thought I was just a brat, you know, because I get bored so easily. So I'm like, oh, I'm so bratty and impatient in every situation. But I think it's partly anxiety.
No, I have anxiety as well. It's not awful like it used to be anymore, but it still kind of just lingers in the underneath.
It's kind of always there, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's always it's there, just waiting to just blow up. Yeah. It's sometimes like, can we hang out today? No. Can we hang out today? No. Can we hang out today? I don't care, we're hanging out. And then, yeah, it's all a bit of a mess afterwards.
I heard you also like baths.
Baths?
Yeah, didn't you say you like to take baths? Like, isn't that like a way
baths.
You manage your...
Sorry, it's how you said it.
Oh, I'm sorry. my stupid American accent.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Baths. You baths. Take baths.
Yeah, baths. Lunchtime baths.
I also really like taking baths. I think like something about the warm water and being immersed in water is very like therapeutic. I don't know why.
So yeah, we talked about like the small details in your work, which I think have been a delight. I was reading some of your book today at work before I realized that the book is not suitable for workplace. Like,
no, it's not very work friendly. It's depending on where you work.
I mean, I was working in a solitary office, but I kind of had to greet people as they were coming in and out, and there were definitely some pages where I was like, this, if someone was to knock right now, this would be very awkward for me.
Yeah, there's some like genitalia and yeah.
Yeah, what was like definitely the inspiration for some of those pieces? I really liked the pancakey strips.
Oh, thank you.
Those are my favorite.
that was inspired by a bad therapist I saw in New York many years ago.
Did she genuinely have a camel toe? This was one of my random questions that I thought we'd get to a lot later, but it's on my mind now.
No, she, I don't think she did, but I think there was just something about her that felt too like bodily to me. But she was also like very guarded in a way that didn't feel very therapeutic to me. Like mm-hmm. she wasn't very open. Yeah, she just sucked. So that character is like loosely based on her. And then like all the genitals and stuff, I kind of just like to kind of get into like a childlike state when I'm making art and not censor myself in any way. Mm-hmm. So that's part of that is just sort of being goofy and like anything goes. And yeah, I think people kind of respond to that really immature side of me.
Yeah, that works really well because you are quite like that on your podcast. Like I felt like I only really recently started listening to Baby Geniuses, actually.
Oh, great.
I followed all your work and read all the comics. And then I listened to the podcast and I was like, wait, this totally makes sense now. It all kind of comes together. Yeah. You and Emily together are like, wow.
Yeah. We talk a lot about like butts and farts and poop and like boobs and yeah, we get there. We go there.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
So Maximum Fun is the network you're on. I actually met Jesse, the owner of Maximum Fun. He was in London with Julie Shapiro from Radiotopia. And we were on the London Podcast Festival talking about podcast networks because I run a podcast network here. And so he's really cool. I did not know.
He's a fun guy.
How did you meet Jesse?
How did I meet him? I don't know. I think I must have met him after we pitched the podcast to him. I think we emailed him and then he called me and Emily in for a meeting. And I suppose that was the first time I met him in person. It's hard to know, you know, you follow people online and then you meet them in person and it's like kind of unclear. Like I have some people who are like, I consider them my friends and I've only like interacted with them on Twitter.
That's really cool. That is like my life right now.
Yeah.
I think podcasting makes it infinitely bigger than that as well. Cause you end up like with listeners as friends who are not like friends, but they're listeners. And they're just weird.
You really learn a lot about people by listening to them talk. It's very intimate in a way.
Very, very intimate. I've learned so much about your menstrual cycle. And I've had that weird moment in the street where, because I talked about periods like one time, someone who met me in person was like, oh yeah. And like when you're on your period, I'm like, excuse me, I felt so violated. I was like, what are you talking about? and then it was, I was like, oh yeah, that was like on the podcast. Shame. That worked out really well for me. So a large part of why I wanted you on the podcast is because you're actually incredibly high achieving. You have done
so much
stuff. Like,
oh God, I try.
You have accolades on accolades. And I watched the talk you did and you were on, is it XOXO?
Yeah, XOXO, that's
it's
right.
It's so hard to say that without saying Gossip Girl at the end, but I'll push through. So on XOXO, you were talking... You opened your talk as if it was going to be like a really bad talk. And it was like the most incredible talk I've ever watched, I think. I don't know why it wasn't TED. It should be TED. You should do TED.
I was super nervous. I broke out in full body hives before I went out on stage. I was so nervous, but it actually went pretty good. I'm glad I did it.
No, it was fine. It was excellent. Do you not do a lot of public speaking, even though you do the podcast for like 5 years?
No, I hate it. I hate public speaking. And I often like have a panic attack, like right before the podcast. And like, it's funny because I panic. The Sashir and Nicole Byer episode, I was like panicking right up until like, you know, basically the whole time, but you can't tell when you listen to it. Like I sound maybe like a little disorganized in the intro. But yeah, I think there's something interesting about being able to listen to it later and be like, oh, and it was okay. And you can't even tell like how I felt on the inside while we were recording.
you sounded fine. Like I personally would.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah, you really can't tell. Like, I sound totally normal, and I make jokes and everything, but like inside I was like, ah! And I was like doing weird stretches and stuff right before we had to record, because I just felt wiggy, you know, like you feel like a body anxiety sometimes.
Yeah. Do you have a way of like overcoming that at all?
Not really, it's
just kind of you just roll with it.
Like, I will just like throw down a yoga mat and roll around on the floor, and that makes me feel better.
That's a good system. Do you just carry yoga mats around with you? Is that like a thing?
No, not yet. I'm not at that point yet. I do it at home. I want to bring one into work at some point if I, you know, maybe someday I'll have more space when I can lay one out. My office is pretty small. I think it just helps to like physically get your body into a different position and like do kind of a silly pose with your body. Like sometimes I'll put on like a dance video on YouTube and I'll dance along to it, because you know, if you're doing like a silly dance, you can't be having a panic attack at the same time really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like your body's like, okay, well, I'm trying to dance like Beyonce right now and I look ridiculous. So I'm clearly not about to die.
That's awesome. That's a really good tip actually to managing panic attacks. I have a few weird precursors that I'm having one, which is like, I get a shaky left hand. And so it will just start trembling and it's really weird. And then I have to hold a glass of water in that hand, and it has to be a glass, and it has to be like a full glass of water. Which I think I talked about at one point in an episode, because it, in my mind, it's like my mom will tell me off if I drop it and smash it. So that kind of really takes my mind off of it.
So if you hold the glass of water in your hand, it stops you from trembling?
Yeah. And then it kind of stops the panic attack, because my whole focus then goes on, I can't smash that glass. Yeah.
Because you have like a bit of a responsibility to like calm yourself.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
If I do, I've done quite a few public speaking gigs now, because as like one of the few podcast network owners who happens to be like a woman and also black, people ask me to do stuff a lot, and I know it's like, yay. And then also, oh, more stuff.
Hard when you're like, oh, I have to like represent, but I don't feel like doing this or talking.
Basically. Yeah. So now I just go into the toilet and just like bust out like a Superman.
Which is like
a thing that I read where like women should do like power moves that men do. So Superman seems like the easiest one. I just stand and like puff my chest out and imagine that I've got like a massive cape. I don't know why they didn't call it the Wonder Woman actually. That seems odd.
The Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I read that when you do that pose, it like literally like makes your body like shoot out a little bit of testosterone or something. And I don't know if that's true, but like it your body's just like, okay, I am strong.
That sounds legit. I would believe that actually. Like
I
could buy that.
It's kind of like when you smile, like it makes your body feel a certain way. Like it shoots out like different hormones. Yeah. So like if you're feeling bad, you should try to smile, it'll make you feel better. Like just things like that I think are so weird and interesting.
So when men tell us to smile in the street,
they're right.
They're totally right. We should smile, because we
should do whatever they tell us.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. I just want to be miserable today, gentlemen. So a lot of my listeners are like young designers, and they're either like at agencies or they're freelancing or trying to. What kind of got your start in your career in terms of like illustration, and what do you recommend to those that are just kind of like on the cusp or just trying to get on the ladder of getting like regular work?
It was kind of an accident almost. I graduated art school and I thought I was going to be like a gallery painter, you know, and like have art shows, and that didn't happen right away. So I started just doing like pet portraits for money.
Oh.
And then I started doing comics, and I got into like kind of the indie comic scene. And then a couple cartoonists tossed me some work. Like, I think Johnny Ryan recommended me to Vice Magazine. So I started doing some illustration for them. A lot of it is just meeting people.
Yeah.
Like when I moved to Brooklyn, I met a lot of other artists, and that kind of helped me get some work. And so I started doing stuff for the New York Times, which was like, you know, a step up in terms of clients. And, some of my first book illustrations were for Chronicle, and their art director just saw my work on a blog.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is just sort of making sure your work is out there and visible, and having like a website, whether it's just like a Tumblr or whatever, it doesn't matter. It could be like, you know, mine is just Squarespace, but just having like sort of a clean, clear portfolio available. Yeah, that was sort of my path, but I kind of never thought I'd be like a hardcore illustrator.
What did you think you'd be instead?
I've always been more sort of self-directed. I don't really like being told what to draw. I'm kind of a brat about it. so I've taken illustration jobs here and there that interest me. And now I don't really illustrate anymore, just because with all the BoJack stuff, that sort of takes up most of my time. So yeah, the rest of my time I like to spend on personal projects. It just kind of ended up being something I was doing. I think it's really hard to like make a full-time career out of illustration. I'm impressed by people who are able to do it. I think for me, you know, not all artists are the same, but for me, doing a lot of different things at the same time has always been a strength. Even if it feels a little scatterbrained at the time, I get bored really easily. So switching from comics to illustrations to, you know, making like a weird sculpture has always worked out for me creatively.
Yeah, that's cool. Speaking of weird sculptures, I had that weird nightmare about your clay fingers and moose fingers.
Oh, you had a nightmare about it?
Yeah, I think I tweeted you and you were like, haha. Thanks. It was really weird. It was like all your little clay fingers just moving towards me.
Oh my god.
What do you do with all your clay fingers now? Has anyone purchased a clay finger from you yet?
They're in a box somewhere. Someone recently asked me if they could buy one or have one, and I was thinking of sending one to them, but I don't know where I put them.
Oh my
god. They're somewhere.
If you do send a clay finger, can I have one? Even though it gave me a nightmare, because I would like one also.
Yes.
I will pay you money for it if you really want
it. No, you can just have it.
Oh,
I'll just send it to you.
I
think that'd be really fun. If I should just wait 2 years until you've completely forgotten they exist and then just send you one finger.
And then just like the trauma
like
of that nightmare.
Someone ransom. Yeah. They're really awful.
No, they look really cool. Like, they actually look amazing. Like, you did a great job on the detail of those clay fingers.
Well, thank you.
It's strange that they're not connected to like hands, but
yeah, cool. Yeah, they're severed.
Yeah, that's the weird part. But yep. I genuinely, I think they're quite beautifully made. Other than that,
well, thank you.
You're welcome. So a lot of what I talk about is getting people to where they want to be. I guess like some people look at you and your career and think, crap, I really want to be Lisa Hadawal, or I want what she's doing.
Yeah, I totally know how that feels.
Yeah, who was that for you?
Oh my god, just so many different artists. I can't even point to just one. Sometimes it's just like friends of mine where I'm like, oh, what they're doing is so cool, I want to do that. And sometimes it's like older artists who I looked up to, or just, you know, film directors or authors or just anyone who just like their work is cool. And so it seems like they have their shit together.
Yeah.
I constantly feel that way. That never goes away.
That comparison trap. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just by nature of like working consistently and getting older, now I am that person to some people. And that's very weird.
I can imagine. Like, has anyone actually like messaged you and been like, please let me like follow you around so I can do what you do? Do you do that? Do you mentor people or like have them shadow you?
No, not in person, just because I don't need anyone to, I don't know. I'm kind of private too. Like there's only so much I can do for other people. Like I can barely take care of myself. But you know, sometimes I message back and forth with people who just, I think a lot of people just need to be told that they're like doing okay. You know, like they don't even need super specific advice. They don't need to be told like what pen to use, because it doesn't matter what pen you use. People just need to be told they're doing okay, and they just need to like continue on whatever path they're on if it makes them feel good. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world, and it's very easy to feel lost, especially if you're in a creative industry. So I'm sometimes happy to like, you know, I mean, within limits, I'm not available at all hours, but sometimes I'm like, okay, this person just needs like a little pep talk.
Yeah.
I can do that. Yeah.
That's cool. Someone, I think it was Mallory Blackman, who's like a British author here. She was saying that she met, I think, I want to say Alice Walker. And she asked Alice Walker specifically to write like, you're going to be okay in her book. Cause that's all she really needed. And like when, and she's like, well, then she used that as like her ammunition to like write all the books and go through all those rejection letters and just carry on anyway. So I quite like that story, because it's sometimes you're right. It's just a case of just saying like, yeah, no, you're doing the right thing. Just keep pushing on. You'll be fine. You can do it. You can do
it. It's hard. It's hard to do the stuff, but there's no like shortcut. You kind of just have to do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've been trying to find shortcuts for 15 years and I haven't found one yet.
I still try and I still fail. Yeah. And you think you'd learn, but you just don't. I don't think any shortcut has ever really resulted in great things for anyone, to be honest, either.
Never. You always just have to end up redoing it.
Basically. Yeah. And finally, for the end of the podcast, what's the best advice you've ever received and what's the worst advice you've ever received?
That's the best advice I ever received. I think, you know, you probably know this from my XOXO talk and from my comics, but I was complaining to my boyfriend about something and feeling bad about my work. And he said, it doesn't matter how you feel when you're working. It doesn't matter if you feel bad when you're doing it, because the way you feel on the inside has nothing to do with what the work looks like.
Yeah.
And what the end result is, which I'm still working on internalizing that advice, but I found that really helpful. What's the worst advice? I've gotten advice from a couple of people to make my work less gross and less like less swear words and less rude and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've always ignored that advice because it's just not me. Yeah. And sometimes it seems a little gendered to me. Like it seems like, you know, as a woman, it's like for some reason, even in 2017, it's particularly shocking when a woman does gross work. And that's ridiculous. I have no reason to do that. I think if I was like really a commercial illustrator, I would have to like rein it in more and separate my work out a little more so I could like have a child friendly look.
Yeah.
That's like just never interested me. It's not the kind of artist I am. So yeah.
Have it. I really like your work. So never change it, please.
Thanks.
Because it's great.
I'm so glad.
And thank you so much for doing this. Like it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So fun talking to you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, how delightful is Lisa? You can find out more about Lisa's work by following her on Twitter and Instagram at Lisa Draws, that's LisaDraws, or via her website, lisahannawalt.com. You can, of course, catch BoJack Horseman on Netflix, and you can find Lisa's podcast, Baby Geniuses, on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
You can download a free limited edition copy of the Wannabe one-page business plan and goal-setting guide so you can take your ideas and make them real. Visit wannabepodcast.com and select free download. It's only available until January 25th. And while you're there, please do ask us a question for the Prisca episodes. This podcast is created by the Shoutout Network. To find out more about membership, visit shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. If you've been taking notes from this episode or you've checked out Lisa's work, please do let me know by leaving a review on iTunes. You can do so via your Mac computer or the iTunes podcast app on your iPhone. Hit me up and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Wannabe Podcast. And to get extended show notes that shall be dropping today, listing the tools and resources that we've mentioned in this episode, visit wannabepodcast.com. I want to say a huge thank you to everyone involved in creating this podcast, including my new assistant, Wadaly. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and I'll catch you again next week. Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.